Asma Mia on LBC.
With cybersecurity from BT. Solutions to help any size business stay protected.
Right, it is 10 to 6 on LBC, and it is time for Simon Mark's American Week.
Asma, imagine a situation in which one day a populist political leader manages to become Britain's Prime Minister. He moves into number 10, and then about 9 months later, without any warning, a bunch of digging machines are seen driving up Downing Street. They immediately start knocking down number 11, demolishing it in its entirety without, as my late mother always liked to say, a by your leave. Unimaginable, right? The bit about knocking down number 11, I mean, not the bit about the populist leader coming to power. Well, this week, that is exactly what has happened in Washington.
Some other dramatic video just into us, even live as we speak, as we're learning the whole east wing of the White House, it is being demolished. It's being pulled down. Look at this. Crews tearing down that part of the building, originally built in the early 1900s.
This morning, extreme makeover White House edition. What was once the historic east wing, now a growing pile of concrete and metal debris.
Sources tell ABC News the entire east wing of the White House is being torn down as soon as this weekend to make way for President Trump's massive new ballroom.
This is an interior shot of the ballroom. I think there'll be nothing like it. And it's being paid for 100% by me and some friends of mine, donors to it. The government's paying absolutely nothing.
There certainly will be nothing like it if those pictures are anything to go by. Ripped from the pages of Versailles, if it's used for nothing else, the producers of Bridgerton might fancy renting it out for some of the ballroom scenes that are one of the hallmarks of that particular bodice-ripping TV drama. Now, if you had said to me even a week ago that the president is so confident in his own power that he can literally tear down part of the White House, a National Historic Preservation Site, without securing any permission, well, even Bridgerton's producers might have rejected that as a storyline too far. But we are where we are, with White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt batting away even the slightest demand for transparency over the project.
The president had initially said that this project wouldn't interfere with or touch the current structure. Now he says to do this properly, he realized that the East Wing had to be demolished. This is the people's house. Why not inform the public of that change and when it was decided that the East Wing would have to be demolished?
Look, again, with any construction project, changes come, and we have informed all of you. We've been keeping you apprised of this project. We've shown you the renderings. And if you look at the renderings, it's very clear the East Wing was going to be modernized.
But modernized is tearing down two different things.
Well, again, the president, the plans changed when the president heard counsel from the architects and the construction companies who said that in order for this East Wing to be modern and beautiful for many, many years to come, for it to be a truly strong and stable structure, this phase one that we're now in was necessary.
Phase one, you say? Who knows? Maybe phase two will see the trashing of the Lincoln bedroom or changing the Oval Office into a rectangle. At this point, he can do absolutely anything. And when you drill down and find out how he gets away with it, as in so many other areas of American life, you discover that the storied checks and balances of the country's hallowed Constitution are in fact hollow. Was he required to get planning permission? Well, it turns out that for the White House, that is merely a tradition that past presidents have all observed because they weren't cultural vandals. But if you elect one, there doesn't appear to be very much that anyone can do to stop him, which is, of course, a much larger metaphor for this presidency and Trump's personal determination to rule as an authoritarian who recognizes no constraints to his power.
Today, organizers say at least 7 million Americans took to the streets protesting what many called an abuse of power by President Trump.
Nearly 7 million Americans, according to organizers, at No King's demonstration Saturday.
The rule of law is just being destroyed.
The message is No Kings. The Constitution of the United States is a wonderful document that matters.
Is it? Does it? The answer to those questions raised on CBS and NBC, they're very much currently in doubt. As a president of the United States decides to build a glittering ballroom and commission a triumphalist arch, the Arc de Trump that we told you about last week, in the middle of a government shutdown that is forcing some furloughed civil servants to turn to food banks because they are not getting paid. It's a shame Melania Trump's office in the East Wing has been demolished by her husband, because otherwise she'd be able to sit there and intone the phrase, "Let them eat cake."
Hey!
This was the American week when Donald Trump's thugs from ICE, his Immigration and Customs Enforcement Division, suddenly turned up on Canal Street in New York City and started pulling anyone with an ethnic appearance off the streets as possible candidates for deportation. NBC reported last night that in its rush to give hefty signing bonuses to thousands of new officers, standard procedures are being flouted by the White House, with new agents taken on without being vetted, fingerprinted, or properly trained. New Yorkers, of course, do not mess around and pursued Trump's agents through the streets, demanding their immediate withdrawal from Manhattan. The heavily armed, poorly trained, often nervous agents up against determined, furious protesters creates a tinderbox on the streets, which, of course, may be the intention as President Trump vows to flood Democrat-led cities all over the country with more of them. His intentions with regard to the war in Ukraine were very difficult to divine over the last 7 days. Just 1 week ago, President Trump was being romanced again by Vladimir Putin and announced that the two of them would meet in Budapest for another summit. There, Prime Minister Viktor Orban, friendly with both Trump and Putin and hostile towards Kiev, seemed keen to play his role brokering the dismemberment of Ukraine. And certainly the US leader on Air Force One last weekend appeared to be up for it.
They should stop right now at the battle lines. Go home, stop killing people, and be done.
What do you think should happen with the Donbas region then?
Let it be cut the way it is. It's cut up right now. I think 78% of the land is already taken by Russia. You leave it the way it is right now. They can negotiate something later on down the line.
But after NATO's Secretary General raced to Washington to talk Trump out of it, and the Russian Foreign Minister strong-armed Secretary of State Marco Rubio to agree to all sorts of preconditions for the Budapest summit, suddenly it was off.
Every time I speak with Vladimir, I have good conversations, and then they don't go anywhere.
The president U-turning yet again, not only abandoning the planned meeting, but suddenly even imposing sanctions on Russia for the first time since his return to power.
These are tremendous sanctions. These are very big. Those are against their two big oil companies. Many Russians were killed last week. Many Ukrainians were killed last week. We think it's ridiculous. And would like to have it in.
There is, as ever, no sign of that happening. And by the way, how come Russia's two largest oil companies were not sanctioned by the Biden administration? That seems like a bit of a miss. Other stories of note this week. The president says he will soon launch airstrikes on alleged drug traffickers in Venezuela, which the Venezuelan government will see as an act of war. And last night, a TV ad produced in Canada but airing in the United States really stuck in Donald Trump's craw.
When someone says, let's impose tariffs on foreign imports, it looks like they're doing the patriotic thing by protecting American products and jobs. But over the long run, such trade barriers hurt every American worker and consumer.
The provincial government of Ontario using Ronald Reagan's anti-protectionist words to tear Trump's policies apart. The ad being screened in states that rely heavily on business with Ontario led Trump last night to call off all trade negotiations with the national Canadian government.
Throughout the world, there's a growing realization that the way to prosperity for all nations is rejecting protectionist legislation and promoting fair and free competition. America's jobs and growth are at stake.
And just a reminder, if Ontario were to cut power exports to the United States, it would turn the lights off in Michigan, Minnesota, and New York City. Imagine being so irked by a TV commercial that you'd put all that at risk. Speaking of videos that irked people, the President of the United States trafficked in one of those himself last weekend. And before we get to it, let's just go back to his response to those No Kings protests. Up to 7 million people on the streets objecting to his authoritarian rule.
The demonstrations were very small, very ineffective, and the people were whacked out. When you look at those people, those are not representative of the people of our country. I'm not a king. I work my ass off to make our country great. That's all it is. I'm not a king at all.
So he's not a king, and he wasn't troubled by the protests. And yet, just hours later, he posted an AI-created video on his social media account. It shows a fighter jet emblazoned with the name King Trump, and the president wearing a crown, and I am not making this up, dropping payload loads of human excrement on No King's protesters below. His supporters call it satire, which itself is pretty satirical, but the thing that struck me most about the video was the soundtrack. Kenny Loggins' famous theme from the Tom Hanks, Kelly McGillis epic movie Top Gun. And if you think about it, Asma, perhaps also the soundtrack for a president who is certainly taking the country ever closer to the danger zone.
And that was Simon Marks's American Week.